Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Robert Silverman, a professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Buffalo School of Architecture and Planning, who studies community development and inequity in urban communities. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Silverman.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be here.
Well, thanks, Robert. And the head of the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, Dr. Ben Carson, on Wednesday proposed tripling the amount of rent that the poorest households are expected to pay, as well as encouraging those receiving housing subsidies to work. This is a proposal obtained by the Washington Post, and it couldn't happen at a more extraordinarily hypocritical time. If my understanding is that HUD's supposed to be dedicated to low-income housing and helping the poor, in effect. So here we have tripling rents and making people work, at the same time giving sweetheart loans to Sean Hannity to build up his $100 million real estate portfolio. That just strikes me as callous hypocrisy. Is there a connection here? Or is it? I mean, certainly there are coincidences, isn't there?
Well, it's very ironic because at the same time that stories are coming out about some of these kind of sweetheart deals for investors who were kind of making profits after the recession, buying up foreclosed properties and building real estate portfolios, in many cases with assistance from HUD through various types of subsidized mortgages or interest reductions, we see policies coming out now that seem very mean-spirited, really targeting the poorest people who are in the public housing system, and many of them already working and trying to make ends meet on jobs that simply don't pay enough to allow them to live in market rate housing, and they're the folks who are kind of being identified as kind of the problem in the system, and the ones who aren't kind of pulling their own weight in ways that really aren't representative even of data that HUD collects.
So I would have thought, though, the crisis in this country is about low-income housing. And we certainly here in Los Angeles, you can see on the streets the growing number of homeless and little tent cities sprouting up everywhere. So isn't that HUD's mandate or responsibility to build more low-income housing rather than penalize the people who already have housing? I mean, I just don't understand what you're going to gain out of tripling the rents. And what is the relationship between Hannity and the loans that he's getting? Is that to build low-income housing?
Well, my understanding from news reporting is that Hannity, like a lot of, institutional investors, were buying up properties at the end of the last recession, the 2008 to 2011 period, and kind of building real estate portfolios. And in some cases, there was, HUD assistance in financing some of those property acquisitions. And so it's really ironic because Hannity probably owns some properties where people who are receiving housing assistance are using that federal subsidy to actually pay their rents. And I don't think that he was directly involved in the policy decisions that are coming out of HUD now, but it seems to be against even his own interests in terms of his real estate holdings. In terms of what HUD's proposing, in a lot of ways, it's a lot of kind of window dressing. I don't know if the actual policy proposals that Secretary Carson was talking about on Wednesday will ever be approved by Congress because they need congressional approval. But it seems to be just kind of the narrative that's coming out of the higher levels of HUD that seems to be arguing that there are a large number of people in the affordable housing system who are gaming the system in some way. And that's simply not supported by HUD. And I know there are a lot of people who work line jobs in HUD who are probably not necessarily in agreement with those policy proposals. And in some ways, they're probably kind of baffled by what's coming out of the secretary's office.
And again, I'm speaking with Robert Silverman, who's a professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Buffalo School of Architecture and Planning, who studies community development and inequity in urban communities. Well, Hannity, of course, has had Dr. Carson on his television show on Fox, which has, I think, the highest ratings of all of the cable shows, or at least it's up there. And, of course, he did not disclose, while he was praising Ben Carson, he didn't disclose any relationship on the air. And, you know, he's paid $36 million a year, and he's apparently hosted Carson just last June on Fox News for a discussion about HUD and housing, in which Hannity praised these privatization plans, which both President Trump and Dr. Carson are pushing. What exactly are they doing? We know that probably the reason why, apart from the fact that the White House physician has a pretty spotty record, to say the least, his possible tenure as head of the VA is now pretty shaky. But we know that there's a lot of pressure on him and anybody that becomes the head of the VA to privatize the VA. That's a big effort underway. So knowing that's underway and being pushed by the Koch brothers front group, Concerned Veterans for America, is the same thing happening with HUD? I mean, what would privatization of HUD mean? And obviously Hannity is pushing it, but what would the consequences be?
Well, there's been a very long incremental trend towards, you know, privatizing certain parts of the public housing inventory, you know, dating back, you know, to the, you know, middle of the Obama administration with what they called the Rental Assistance Demonstration Program. And that's one of the most rapidly expanding programs, you know, within HUD in terms of, you know, housing. And in essence, what that does is it turns public housing over to the private sector to both rehabilitate and manage that property, and then private management companies will make income based on both the renovation work that they do in public housing units and also on the management of those properties as well. And so that's really been accelerated under the Trump administration. That's one of the things that expanded in the last budget cycle. And that's also shared some pretty widespread support from both Democrats and Republicans. And so that's really kind of a long-term trend. And it's really counterintuitive to even the proposals that just recently came out to do things like, you know, raise the, you know, income limit or the income levels that public housing tenants' rents are based on, and to initiate some of these more punitive work requirements on public housing residents, although, you know, most of those requirements already are well within the parameters of the amount of work that most people in public housing do who, you know, are not disabled or elderly already. And so privatization is something that's been happening already. It probably would have been happening regardless of who was in the administration. But there's, you know, kind of a push to really reduce all other aspects of what HUD does. And you know, so far the pushback from Congress has been to kind of reject those proposals and actually increase HUD spending. That's what happened in the last budget cycle. But the Trump administration has already made proposals for the next budget cycle that really kind of eliminate some of those kind of sustainable or sustaining kind of revenues that have gone into HUD.
Well, it looks, though, through these shell companies that Sean Hannity is buying up, as you say, after the housing crisis and the collapse in 2008, you had all these sort of vultures coming in and picking up these properties. But as far as I can tell from the reporting coming from The Guardian, that Carson, the head of HUD, has allowed Hannity to have these mortgages replaced with loans that have been rewritten at a new bank, and that Carson has given Hannity the authority to allow him to convert the rental complexes, which I imagine is low-income housing, into condominiums for sale, which would be hugely profitable. So that seems on the surface to sort of go against the mission of HUD. The idea is to have low-income rental units rather than luxury condominiums.
Well, yeah, and I am not familiar with the whole makeup of, you know, the portfolios that Hannity and others have invested in. I'm sure there's segments of them that have conditions applied to them that require units to remain affordable, and there might be some other segments of those portfolios that, you know, are purely market rate. And HUD plays a role in, you know, assisting with financing for all types of properties. You know, they're involved with, you know, the FHA mortgage market, with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and also with, you know, a variety of different programs that, that have more stringent requirements for subsidized housing. And what it seems to indicate is that the lack of some more detailed critique of HUD policy coming out of people like Hannity, who might have investments like that, might indicate that they're not even familiar with, you know, the kind of makeup of, and mix of their own kind of investment portfolios, because obviously some of the policies that are coming out of HUD are counterintuitive to making those affordable properties that investors own, you know, sustainable over time. And from a objective standpoint, people in the media should be kind of, you know, critiquing the policies from that perspective if they're consistent with those goals of providing affordable housing that, that HUD has really kind of had as their core mission since the creation of HUD. But at the same time, the whole issue of just disclosing conflicts of interest, you know, are things that have recently come to the surface with some people in the media who have investments, and I guess Hannity would be an example of that.
Well, apparently Hannity bought 11 properties in Georgia from a fellow called Jeff Brock, who pleaded guilty in 2016 to federal charges of bank fraud and conspiracy for his role in an operation to rig foreclosure auctions between 2007 and 2012. So it does, you know, on the surface just seem so cruel and misplaced, the idea that people should be getting rich off the housing crisis and then converting, you know, low-income properties to condominiums. And I just, again, it goes, it's hard for me to understand how HUD's mission could have moved from taking care of low-income people and providing housing to turning Hannity and all these other people into kind of welfare queens. I mean, it's, I guess you could describe it as right-wing welfare. How do you see it?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you brought up the Jeff Brock example, and I think the positive thing about that is that there was some type of, you know, action, you know, from the Justice Department or some other, you know, state-level agency where they actually press charges against him, and it ended up resulting in him, you know, pleading guilty, you know, two crimes. And there was a lot of abuse that took place during the foreclosure crisis where investors and others, you know, came and kind of took advantage of a lot of people's hardship that took place during the recession. And hopefully that should be kind of a process that continues to move forward in terms of getting transparency in terms of who these investors are, and also, you know, more aggressive prosecution of people when they commit crimes. And we would hope that the Justice Department would take an aggressive stance towards, you know, that type of fraud that might take place with the government, because it really muddies, you know, the waters, and it also creates a stigma on any investor who's trying to do the right thing. And it just kind of raises the need for, you know, more enforcement of the laws that do exist to protect people who HUD policies are designed to benefit.
But let's face it, the Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, he got rich off robo-signing a bunch of foreclosed mortgages out here
That's
in Pasadena
true.
Through a bank. So he got rich off the misery of others, and he's the Secretary of Treasury. So not exactly a shining example. So just in the last couple of minutes, though, there was some negative publicity earlier about Ben Carson, perhaps at the urging of his wife, to spend enormous amount of money on a desk. I think it was $31,000. That sort of blew up. We know about all of the other cabinet members who have problems with their profligate spending of taxpayer money, like Scott Pruitt at the EPA. What's your sense about whether, in the scale of things, we know that the VA nominee, Ronnie Jackson, is in terrible trouble. We don't know about Pruitt. Trump seems to be sticking by him, and Pruitt's actually lobbying to become the next Attorney General if they could find a way to fire Jeff Sessions and kill the Mueller investigation. Where would you place Ben Carson in terms of the roiling scandals in this cabinet and this administration? Or has he dodged a bullet in by canceling the purchase of the desk?
Well, I think that, you know, it's just indicative of kind of a general sense of entitlement that a lot of the people who have been appointed to these offices of public trust have at least held up to the current period of time. And what they're starting to learn is that there are procedures and policies in place in the agencies where they're serving that put restrictions on that type of abuse. And fortunately, there are people still present in the core civil service positions throughout the government who are watchdogging some of those activities and acting as whistleblowers when they see abuses, because that's the main way that the public is learning about those things now. And in some cases, it can be understood as kind of just a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding of what the policies are in their agencies. But when public officials, especially in times when budgets are tight and proposals for a variety of different types of austerity measures are being forwarded, still are involved in some of this excessive behavior, it's really the kind of the visibility of that type of abuse that hopefully will temper some of those activities in the future.
Well, Robert Silverman, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Great. Well, thanks for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Robert Silverman, who's a professor of urban and regional planning at the University of Buffalo School of Architecture and Planning, who studies community development and inequity in urban communities. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into the most brazen admission on the part of Mick Mulvaney, the head of the OMB and acting head of the CFPB, who before a group of bankers yesterday, in effect, said, if you pay, you can play.